Today's share is dedicated to Ila Nishmas Yaakov ben Yehuda, whose yahrzeit is today. May his neshama have an aliyah through the learning of his son, his grandchildren, who happen to know well. Wonderful b'nei Torah, may Hashem, that his neshama should have aliyah due to his wonderful family. Parashas Bahaloyscha, the beginning of the parasha, the Torah tells us about the lighting of the menorah. And Rashi tells us that Aaron HaKohen was somewhat distraught, somewhat depressed over watching the Chanukah Samizbeach, that he didn't partake in it, and he was saddened over the fact that he wasn't involved. And Rashi tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron HaKohen, don't worry, don't feel bad, you'll have something special, even greater, you'll get the right to be madlik than menorah. If you look in Rashi, Rashi doesn't say madlik, he actually writes to be mativ of the neiris. Rashi says, first you'll be mativ of the neiris, you'll set up the neiris, and you'll be madlik of the neiris, then you'll kindle the neiris. So the Ramban over there asks, why exactly did this please Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen had a lot of jobs in the Beis HaMikdash that regular people didn't do. Why would this be the one specific job that calmed him and made him feel better? So Ramban learns a very famous pshat. The Ramban writes, it's really the menorah of Chanukah. It's not referring to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's really referring to the menorah of Chanukah, which will be in every Jewish home, and all of Klai Yisrael will experience Chanukah, and that's appeased Aaron. There's a beautiful piece in Sichas Musar. I've said this piece over many times here. It's always worth repeating. From Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sefer Sichas Musar, where he said over on the yard site of Ibrahim Lvovitz, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz wants to explain, what did Rashi hold? Why did Rashi think the menorah calmed or appeased Aaron HaKohen? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that the menorah represented Hakaras HaTov, that the menorah was Klal Yisrael's way of giving back to Hashem, who protected them and guided them in the Midbar, so to say, showed them the way in the Midbar. He was the ways of the Midbar. That's how Klal Yisrael knew where to go. Therefore, the way Klal Yisrael showed thank you to Hashem, their appreciation for what was done for them, they lit the menorah. And Aaron was chosen to be the one to express Hakaras HaTov. He was the one to be on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. That was something very special that made Aaron HaKohen feel, oh, I feel much better because I get the special right to be able to be Makir Tov. But Reb Chaim Shmulevitz brings some beautiful proofs throughout Tanakh and Chazal that many times Hakaras HaTov is not always about the person you're giving back to. It's about you. We always think we have to Makir Tov because what's the other person going to say? Someone does me a favor and I don't do something back to him, he's going to be upset at me. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's not about him. It's about you. You have to feel that if something was done nice for you or on your behalf, you owe that person gratitude. Whether that person needs it or wants it is irrelevant. He says, you think Hashem needed our menorah to thank him? Hashem doesn't need it. But we felt that we need to show Hashem we're grateful. And he brings two unbelievable proofs in Chazal. He says that the pasuk tells us that Reuven wanted to go save Yosef. Why did Reuven feel the motivation to save Yosef? So it says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's because when Yosef had in his dreams, he had Reuven as one of the brothers, an equal brother. So Yosef, when Yosef had his dreams, in his subconscious dreams, he put Reuven together with his other brothers, which means Reuven felt, oh, Yosef views me as a regular. Even though I sinned with moving of the beds, he still views me like one of the brothers. So now if my brother, who did such a nice thing to me, who viewed me as one of the equal partners, even though I might have sinned, I want to go save him. Now that's amazing, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. This wasn't like Yosef thought about it. It was in a dream, subconscious in his dream. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, you see from over here, how far does it go, the idea to be Makir Tov? And then he proves another proof. The pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was told from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go save the Jewish people. Can you imagine someone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you one day and says, listen, go to Israel, take over, fix the problems, set the Jewish people free, beat the Arabs, your bag is already packed before Hashem finishes talking. The Medrash says, well, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? I can't leave. I need permission from Yisrael. Yisrael opened up his doors to me when I was a stranger. Took me in, I had nothing going for me. I have to ask him permission before I leave. Says Mechaim Shlomo, look at that Hakaras HaTov. Yisrael took him into his house, gave him a wife, gave him a job, and I'm just not going to leave because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, oh, time to leave. But how did Moshe Rabbeinu know? Maybe he should listen to Hashem. He says, because look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to do the first couple of makas. Why? Because the water and the sand protected him earlier. Ask Mechaim Shlomo, and if he would have hit the sand, you think the sand would have been insulted? Think the water would have been hurt that you hit me after I saved you? The answer says, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's not about the other person. It's about you. You have to feel a feeling of gratitude. And because of that gratitude, you have to act and behave a certain way. It's not always about the recipient. It's not always about what the other person will think or say. It's about me. I have to feel that this is something that was done on my behalf. I owe an amount of gratitude. Every once in a while, it's always kedai to chazer this lesson of Hakaras HaTov. And again, I'm extremely makir tov to everyone here in this room who comes every single Sunday. I'm makir tov to Rangiz of Woodman for giving us a place to have this shurim, allowing us to go online, for all those people that make this shurim happen, for all those who show up. We can have a shir all day long, but if people don't show up and don't give up their Sunday mornings to come, we're not going to get too far. So I'm extremely makir toif to all those who make these shurim and other shurim happen, and all those who do things behind closed doors that I don't know about, and some things I do know about, that make these shurim and other shurim happen. It's my expression of akar satoif. I know many people say, I don't need it. You're right, you don't need it. It's not about you. I'm not expressing it for you. I'm doing it for me. I need to express it. And that's a very valuable lesson that the Torah is teaching us in Parashas Bahaloyscha. As the Torah goes on, the Torah talks about the travels in the Midbar. And then Rabbi Leo Dessler points out that sometimes the B'nai Yisrael finally reached the point and they unpacked, they got comfortable, just a minute later to be picked up and moved out. So he says, well, what is this? Why couldn't they have a little bit of, you know, downtime, relaxation time? So Dessler explains that the Kosh Baruch is teaching Jewish people, life is not going to be easy. You think it's Geshmak, I unpack, put my feet up for a little bit, relax. Klal Yisrael was learning a lesson that's, for many of us, hard to swallow sometimes. And life is not going to be easy. We think that if I had this, I'd be able to do this. And if I had more time, I would learn more. If I didn't work so hard, if I had money, I would learn more. It's not always true. There's always something else that's going to be thrown your way as a curveball that's going to make life more complicated. And that's why the Jewish people didn't always have this comfort of, you know, relaxing and chilling for 2 days and then going on. It was always constant moving. They never knew when they'd have to jump and move because life is always on the move. We find in the parasha that the Torah tells us that a Levi, after he reaches 50, he has to retire. Not full retirement, but he's not allowed to do all the amounts of jobs that he used to do. So the Chafetz Chaim points out over a very interesting word. The Chafetz Chaim says, it's not only for Levim that they have to retire when they reach 50. He says, when every person reaches 50, every Jew has to really cut back on his work. Why, says the Chafetz Chaim? Because now it's a time where a person has to focus on the next world. The first 50 years of his life, he's working on this world. You know, how am I going to make parnasa and provide for my family? Good, you did that. Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, after you reach 50, now's the time where you have to think about the next world. Now you got to be focusing on, where am I heading? Where's my Yerushalayim going? My Avodas Hashem? The problem is today, 50 is young. People at 50 are still little kids at home. They're still paying tuitions for their kids, their grandchildren's kids. You can't retire yet at 50 anymore. But it's a lesson from the Chafetz Chaim that he thinks that the Torah is saying that it's time for the Levi to cut back, not necessarily from spiritual work, from physical work. Yeah, you're not supposed to lift heavy things, but you're still supposed to be very involved. Mishnah in the Parak Yavah says that once you reach 50, that's when you start giving out free advice. So don't go around anyone who reached that age. They think that they have to give up free advice. Doesn't mean you have to give advice. I mean, you could give advice. Doesn't mean you're mechoyev and it's a mitzvah to give advice. But that's what the Mishnah says in Ovis. So the Chafetz Chaim says, yeah, good advice, give it to yourself. Cut back on some of the other things you're doing and use your time wisely. Parshas Bahaloyscha, the Torah starts a bunch of parshas in a row where Klal Yisrael seems to have done things that make very little sense to all of us. They say about the Chidush Arim that when it reached this time of the year, the Chidush Arim used to walk around with like a sad feeling on his face. So most of us walk around with that feeling now because it's really hot, and we got to figure out how to send the kids to camp, or what to do with the kids between school and camp, which is like 2 weeks. It's my feelings, I don't know. So the Chiddush Arim was very saddened during these weeks, and someone asked him, why are you so sad? He said, because the next 8 weeks in a row, Klal Yisrael sins in all of the parshas. And they're big sins, they're not small things. Next week's parasha, every rav of every shul is going to try to figure out a pshat in the story of the Meraglim. I wish them all a lot of luck. These are hard stories. Kairach. These are not simple stories to explain what Klal Yisrael did wrong and what their sin was. These are very difficult stories. But the Torah tells us that B'nai Yisrael complained. And what was their complaint? They complained that they were sick of the man. They want real food. No more man. So there's an unbelievable medrash. The medrash says that Klal Yisrael complained they want man. They want meat. Mikan remez lahadlokas neir Shabbos. And here we see a source in the Torah for lighting neir Shabbos. Everyone asks, what does one have to do with the other? So they explained, it's really Gemachlegis Negemar Numa, when the man, did it taste like food? Or did the man, did it taste like food? And did it look like food? Was it Tamay Uma Moshe or not? So the Gemara has a kasha, 1 second, that if you hold it tasted like food, so then what was the big deal? Well, why do you need to have basa? You have basa, it makes it taste like basa. The answer is it didn't look like basa. And we can only enjoy food if we see how it looks. Says the Gemara, oh, now I understand why you're supposed to light Neir Shabbos, because your wife prepared a beautiful food. You know what the meal is. She told you what she made, but you're sitting in the dark eating it. So although it tastes like a good piece of steak, because you don't see it, you can't really enjoy it. And that was the B'nai Yisrael's taina. Their taina was, yes, this stuff tastes like basar, but it doesn't look like basar. In order to really enjoy food, it has to be able to be seen to the eye as well. So the B'nai Yisrael complained. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, he says, it's not clear, what were they complaining about? Were they really complaining about the food, or were they really boicha al mishpachoysa? Were they really upset about the rules of Arayas, all these new restrictions? So Rabbi Yaakov says something very true in all our lives. He says, the psyche of a person is, when we say one thing, there's really something else under it that's really bothering us. You speak to anyone who deals with therapy, and Shalom Bayis, I deal with this a lot many times, you speak to couples and they'll say, X and Y is bothering me. You dig deeper, you'll see that's not really what's bothering them. There's really something else that they're just not saying. So here also, the B'nai Yisrael came to, they were embarrassed to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're boicha al mishpachoysav. We're upset about the rules. We want to be able to marry our uncle and all these other people. So they made us some excuse. We're upset about this. But it was really a facade. That wasn't really what was bothering them. What was really bothering them deep down was Baruch HaMash B'chayso. Because the food doesn't make any sense to be upset about that. Come on. You missed what? Leading a Mitzrayim? This is so much better. But the reason why Klai Yisrael uses this as an excuse, and many times in life we do this, we say something's really bothering us, or something is an excuse why we don't do it. It's not really what's there. There's really something deeper behind that meets the eye. A few years ago, I gave a shiur on a Thursday night once, late, at 11 o'clock on a Thursday night with Charlton Kogel. And the topic of the shiur was, what bracha did they make on Mon? You can only give a shiur like that on a Thursday night with Charlton Kogel. That's not it's not one of the shiurim you give in a structured, setting. What bracha did they make on Mon? Like, it really matters today, what bracha they made on Mon? Avad, all Torah is important, and there's a discussion. It's an interesting sugya. The assumption is they made a bracha on the Mon. One can debate, did they really make a bracha on the Mon? It's not so posh, they made a bracha on the Mon. Some people say they didn't make a bracha on the Mon, and that's what Bnei Yisrael was complaining about. They said, no, we want food so we can make brachas. We don't want to make this Mon. That's, the Chassidish spin on it, right? But Bnei Yisrael was Lushma. They wanted to be able to make brachas on food, so they wanted real food, so they make brachas, as opposed to the Mon, they didn't make brachas. The Gemara says in brachas that the idea of brachas amazon was nesakin at the time when the Mon came down. So clearly they benched. The question is, if they benched, does that mean they also made a bracha Rishayna? So there's a very famous piece from Bnei Yisrael. You can probably count on my hand how many times I quote the Bnei Yisrael, not in a bad way, Chas V'Shalom, but it's not one of my more popular sforim, but the Bnei Yisrael has a very famous machloikis about did they make a brach on the Mon. Bnei Yisrael held they didn't make a brach on the Mon. He held that Mon was a spiritual food, no bracha necessary. He said except on Shabbos. On Shabbos they made a brach, Asher Kedushan B'Svet Sivan U'Lechol Su'd Shabbos, as they learned the Bnei Yisrael. The problem is, how can they not make a bracha? The Gemara says, Asla Henes Min Oil Mazeh B'Lei Bracha, so the Pardes Yosef says, it's not Oil Mazeh. Mon was L'malam Oil Mazeh. It was a spiritual food. So it's not Isra of Asin Dahan, it's Mirayim Azeb Le Bracha. The Ben Ishchai assumes the bracha they made was Mamti Lechem Min Ha'aretz, Min HaShemayim. Because like the Pasuk says, Mamti Lechem Min HaShemayim. That's what the Pasuk says. So they made a bracha, Mamti Lechem Min HaShemayim. The Steichem said there was no brachas. Brachas are Takanas de Rabbanan. They didn't exist in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, so they didn't make a brachas. As I learned the Steichem. There's a very cute var from the Chibina Rav, the David Misharim. The Chibina Rav says there's a Sfarna that says that if Bnei Yisrael would have collected the Mon in the Midbar, they would have been over the Malach of Kaitzer. Because the Mon was considered attached to the ground, and they were severing attachment to the ground. So it says the Chibina, so if the Mon is considered connected to the ground, so you can make the bracha, Hamoiti Lechem Min Ha'aretz. We know the Mon was called Lechem. The only question is, what does it do with Min Ha'aretz? Says the Chibina, according to Sephorno, it's Min Ha'aretz. Because you told me if I'd be Kaitzer it, if I'd pull it off the ground, I'd be separating it from its Yenika. So you see, it's part of the Ha'aretz, maybe you make the bracha, Hamoiti Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Others, Tainif Haked, if it's not a part of the ground, make Adama. Bari Priya Adama. If Meir Shapiro has a right from a Ritva, Mordek arrived from a Ritva that it's called Lechem. Because Ritva in Kedushin says you can't use Mon for Matzah. Why? Because it's not one of the Chameshas Menidogim. So says Rameh Shapir, I'll tell you one better. You can't use it because it's not called Lechem. It's not bread. Elamai, it must be, it's called Lechem. Yosef Engel had a Shaila, he wanted to know, let's say you wanted the Mon to taste like Basa B'chalav. You wanted the Mon to taste like pig. Did it work? Yosef Engel was Musabik. So Min Chasashev, Ashavai says he thinks it depends on the Gemara. If it was Tam Uma Moshe, if it was real, when you ate the Mon, it was a real hamburger and cheeseburger, so that's aser. If it would just be Tam on its own, maybe it's not aser. Then there's a whole discussion. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu never made the miracle of Mon to use it for wrong. That's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Mon so you can use it improperly. That's not why he instituted the Mon. He made the Mon for other reasons. So that's a bit of a discussion. There's another discussion. Can you use the Mon for matzah? That's a bit of a lamdish discussion. Could you use the Mon for matzah? And some other creative shayos that come up with the Mon. But these are one of the questions. Every once in a while in elementary school, a Rebbe will throw this out to the kids and ask the kids, what bracha do you make on Mon? Again, obviously not Megi Halacha Maisa, but definitely makes for an interesting conversation piece. Okay. So let's get back to the sugya over here. We're holding in the Gemara. The Mishnah told us that if you give a get to a lady who's sleeping, or you give a get to a lady and you tell her that something else, so the get's no good, and you have to say to her later, this is your get. We mentioned in the Rishayim four pshatim on what's wrong. We saw, let's say, for sleeping, what's wrong when you give a get to a sleeping lady? So Taisvis learned, according to the Rav Salvechik, learned Taisvis, it's because she doesn't realize that she's divorced and she's going to come back tomorrow. The Ran and the Rajba learned because the get's not protected. And therefore, since the get's not protected, the get's not chal. The Rush learned that a lady can't be divorced if she's sleeping because she's not a bas geirishin. And the final pshat was the Rambam held its exeris hakasav, which we'll talk more about today. The Rishonim have an interesting shaila. What happens if a husband goes over to his wife and says, listen, I have a piece of paper. It's a get. I want to store it here in the chatzar. Just let me store it here. I'm not divorcing you with it. Just leave it here as a pikadah. Make believe it's like any other document that I own. I'm putting here and I'm asking you to keep it in the chatzar. Then an hour later he says to her, you know what? Let's get divorced. Does that work?
Obviously that her name
Yeah, you know, it was written to her. Everything was good. So when he gave the get, right, he gave the get without any intent of divorce, which would be the equivalent of giving the get and saying to her, here's the phone bill. Right, which the Mishnah said, all you need to do is just say the words Hagitech and everything is fixed. So presumably, same thing here also. I gave her a get, said, listen, this is a divorce. Don't worry, I'm not divorcing you yet. Let's see how supper goes tonight, and then I'll make a decision, right? Okay, good. That's what we need to see. Is there something fundamentally different between giving her a get and telling her it's a bill, and giving her and saying, this is a pikadon. I'm asking you just to watch it, and then later saying to her, oh, let's get divorced. So if you look over here, number one, the Chiddush Eran, the back of the Gemara, he assumes for a davar pashut, that the same way it says in the Mishnah, that kinsi shtar chayv, who hadin kishenosno l'shem pikadon. Let's say I gave her the document as a pikadon. I put it in her backyard with absolutely no intent of making a divorce. The achakach omar lo, and afterward they tell her, oh, by the way, hagitech. And she's standing next to the chatzah, which means the chatzah could be kind for her. She should be divorced. Because these are very important words in the Rishonim. How did this get to her hands from the husband? Although when the husband initially put it there, it wasn't an asina b'shem gerushin, it wasn't an asina for gerushin, but at the end of the day, the get got to where it needs to go from him. It wasn't like Tligidich Me'al Gabakak where the husband throws the get in the middle of the street and then she walks and takes it. Here the get got to her through the husband's door.
If you hold 80 Masir Kar, see, then there's nothing here. Well,
yeah.
He gave it to Lola Shame get, right?
Yeah.
80 Masir
yeah.
Kar. So how could this possibly
be? Well, that's more of a technical problem in Hilchos Gerushin. I want to know, is it a problem of Nesina? Is there a problem of Nosa and Al Tligidich, like you pointed out earlier?
Even if you want to say it in the Sino, it's a valid Sino. Where's the Lishma? At the time that you gave it,
yeah,
right. There was no intention to divorce her.
Oh, but that's the same cash on the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, kitzi shtachoy, you give her a shtachoy, and then you say to Hagitech, everything works. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Good. As long as we clarify that. Okay, good. That's what we need to get to. Is it so simple that by the case of Shtachov, you intended to divorce or you just used funny words because you were embarrassed or whatever it is over here? You had no intention of divorcing her. You just decided later. So let's see.
Would it work the same way if he said, this get, l'shem pikadon, but he didn't give it to her?
Where did he put it?
He said right over here next to you. She never touched it, though.
So then there was never an asina in the first place. So then
it
would not work. Now again, I apologize for the small taste of it. I couldn't get a bigger one. I apologize.
Is there a time limit? Like, can you give it to her and a month later say, by the way, that I gave you the
get? Is there that's okay. There's a machlokes rishonim about it. Some rishonim say it all has to take place in one spot. But they bring a right from our Mishnah, right? She's sleeping. How long? She could be sleeping for a few hours. And then you say the hagidich when she wakes up. So you see it's not locked into a time frame. But it is machlokes rishonim. Yeah.
So she retroactively
that's the assumption. Now, if Nimlum writes it like that, that's going to be all retroactive. Yeah, we need to talk a little bit more about that. The assumption is it will be retroactive from when he gave it. That's the assumption. So that's the question. What is going through? Right, so let's try to read this taste of it. I apologize. The taste of it on the side of the Gemara and getting is small. Okay.
She does know it's a get. He's not saying this is a pikadon.
No, he's telling her straight. This is a pikadon. This is a get. No, I'm not divorcing you with this.
No, I know, but what is
she? She might know what the paper is. But she knows that this is not a divorce.
Besides, the envelope is a get.
Right, but I'm not using
him on it.
But
I'm not
giving
it. But it is a get.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
So it says, the taste of it says over here in very small words, but important words. He writes, "V'hi yeshana yesh kan nesina." When she's sleeping, there is a nesina. El neisha ena yichil l'shamrei, because she can't protect the get. Amra la, we say to her kishin ura when she wakes up. Reis egidich v'dayla. That's good enough. Aval ilu nostla matchila l'shem pikadin. But if you give it initially as a pikadin, nesina zu ena klum. This nesina would be worthless. And it would not be enough to go back and say hagitech like we learned earlier. Instead, you have to give the get again. So the question is, what's the difference? Why, when you give a lady a paper and say, here's a bill, that's called a maisa and it's in a get, as opposed to when you give her a thing and say to her, listen, do me a favor, watch this for an hour, and then an hour later you decide to divorce, so what's the difference?
Is
so,
this in contradiction to what the Mishnah said?
No, the Mishnah was talking about a case of Shtar Choyf. He's talking about a new case. So the Ran and the Ritva say, same case. What's the difference? What's the difference if you tell a lady it's a Shtar Choyf or you tell her, I'm asking you to watch this piece of paper for me? Comes along the Tais Svid. He says, no, there is a fundamental difference. What is the fundamental difference? So I think the simple way of saying it is if you learn like those Rishonim that learned that the reason why it works by Shtar Choyf is because we think he might have changed his mind. So when he goes back and tells us, Hagiteich, now we go Huvra Adov Lemafreya that he wanted to give a get. But over here, there's no Huvra Adov Lemafreya to anything. He walked over and told her, I'm leaving this paper by you. And then when he turns around and says, Hagiteich, that showed me that he wanted to divorce her from the time when he gave it? Absolutely not. You don't have that Hechacha. By the case of when he said something funny, he said to her, oh, here's a bill. So the Rishayim said, why did he say that to her? Because he really wanted, we're not sure if he wanted to take the get back. He might have wanted to back out of this divorce. And then when he turns around and says, Hayidich, we say, no, he didn't want to back out. Okay, that makes sense. So then Huvra Adovlam afraid that the Nesinas Haget that he gave to her was a Nesina L'Shem Gerushin. But over here, when he says to her, listen, can I store this piece of paper in your backyard? He had known, we don't know that he gave this as a Nesina L'Shem Gerushin. That's the Lashon of the Tesis Rit. The Chassaron over here is it lacks a Nesina L'Shem Gerushin, and you can't prove it. Saying Hagitich doesn't prove that. Saying Hagitich means I decided it now. So therefore, that's why the Taisirid draw a distinction between the case of Shtachayv and the case of Pikadon. Now, Avni Meluim wants to say a little bit more Yishmaka way of learning it. If you look in Avni Meluim number 3, he says like this. Let's go back to our Taisvis that we started out with. Taisvis says, Tlashitas HaTaisvis, Mayri Sha'amal Eidim Ru Gedzeh Ve'in Tzarech La'Diyala. Taisvis' sheet in the whole sugya was that the husband tells the Eidim, listen guys, I'm about to divorce my wife. He gives her the paper and says to her, Shtachayv. So that is good, says Taisvis. Why? She has to know that she's being divorced. Someone will tell her later. The witnesses will tell her later. When the husband gave the get, he gave it as a gerushin. He knew what he was doing. She didn't know what was going on. So the Edom will fill her in. Now everyone's on the same page. But the Nesina Saget, says the Avnim Luim, was the Nesina L'Shem Gerushin. Even the goof or he do in el bechdeshet emushalachz v'nechazers. Them came betchilo haya nesina l'shem gerushin mamish. There was no doubt in the giving over here according to Taisus. This giving was as giving as anyone would give a get. He didn't express it, but he expressed it to the Eidim. Therefore, it works. The chayim biyashan, even if she's sleeping. Afagav de'in mugreshes l'mafreya. It's not l'mafreya, da kishi yishena ein lo yad ve'in mishtamer. V'komoki mehani nesina v'shoyna kivin da'bal nosno l'shem gerushin. He doesn't mean l'mafreya in lomnes. He means l'mafreya from the time when he gives it. Meaning it doesn't work when you give it to her when she's sleeping because you gave it to a person who can't get divorced. Now when she'll wake up and she knows what to do, then now the get works. But when I gave the get, my get was a regular giving of a get. There was nothing wrong with my giving. I knew what I wanted to do and the Eidim knew what I wanted to do. However, says the Avnei Meluim, that's all if you learn like those Rishonim. If you learn like those Rishonim, so these Rishonim like Taisi Rid that says Pikadon doesn't work, is that because you hold like Taisus. Avol, says the Avnei Meluim. Avol Shitas HaRashba V'Haran the Mayri Shlo Hidil Eidim. But if you hold like the Rashba and the Ran, who learned the case over here is where you didn't tell Eidim. Vasuki by saying Yanami Le Mahani, doesn't help that you were talking about it before. So why does it work? The Rashba and the Ran learned that by Kinti Shtachayv it works just straight up. Straight up. Why does that work? Elamai says Avnei Meluim must work because Ve'in El B'Tayis because Nafilu Achamen HaKish Al-Akach U'Lekach Mochach Shabba Shitas Nafilu Nos because Nami V'Nos HaKrinabay. Says the Avnei Meluim, the other Rishonim disagree with Taisus. The other Rishonim hold that when the husband walks over to the wife and says, Kinsi Shtachayv, we know nothing. We are clueless. We have no idea what's going through his mind. Yet, later on, when he comes back and says the words, Hagidech, all of a sudden that clarifies. So says the Avnei Meluim, that should clarify for Pekadon also. So the Avnei Meluim wants to set up that this Machloikis Rishonim, between the Ran and the Taisirid, what you hold about Pekadon is telling how you learned the Machloikis about Kinsi Shtachayv. If you learn like Taisus, that the whole Chassaron is, she doesn't know what's going on, but we know he knows what's going on. So then by the case of Pekadon, that doesn't work. We don't know what he wants to do. But if you hold like the other Rishonim, then we never know what he wants to do. We don't know until he tells us Hagidech. So by the case of Pekadon, it's the same thing. When the husband tells us afterwards by Pekadon that I said Hagidech, so now we know what he wanted, so it works as well.
Maybe yeah. Another chilek, which Avnei Meluim couldn't do, is that by Kinsi Shtachayv, there's a full Maisa Kinyan, right? Just the woman thinks it's for something else.
Correct.
It's fully Kona to get.
Correct.
By Pekadon, it still belongs.
Right, there was never.
Now, Avnei Meluim couldn't say that because, of
course, you don't need a Kinyan. Yeah, that's going to work its way back into the Sugya again. We're going to have to get back into this idea of splitting the Sina and Kinyan, which is something we spoke a lot about.
Is it an issue that we don't know what he wants, or is it? He doesn't know what he wants.
Both. Right? It's really he doesn't, and therefore we don't, and
so
we have.
That's a
right. So the Tais Rush learned we weren't sure what he wanted, and the only way we know is when he says Hayitich. That's what the Tais Rush learned.
But the way that it seems that the case is that he himself doesn't know. See how things work out in
right.
a couple of hours.
That's what some Rishonim say.
Dinner, so
right. That's what some Rishonim say. Some Rishonim learn the Taka not sure. Well, whether he's not sure or we're not sure, we don't know what's going on over here. We don't know, is there a divorce taking place, or this is only, some Rishonim say it's Kisufa, he's embarrassed to divorce, or whatever it is.
When he gave the envelope, did she know what was in the envelope, or
was it? Doesn't sound like
what
it.
What
he said, listen, here's a Pekadon, I want to leave it by you.
But then it what it was.
Right.
Later on,
and then later he says, oh, by the way, this is your get, let's get divorced. Now, we'll talk more about this Shiloh because, again, there was still a little bit of a lacking of an Asina from him to her. Because when she was kainit, when was she kainit? there was a little bit of a break in between. When the get was put in at 2 o'clock, she was not kainah until 8 o'clock. So when she was kainah at 8 o'clock, was that considered as if the husband gave it to her? Or that was like she took it off the ground? We'll have to get into that in a little bit. The Rishayim are here all bothered with the kasha. It's funny, the Machna Ephraim and others discuss. Let's talk about the case in the Mishnah of she's sleeping. When you give a get to a girl who's sleeping, so the get's no good. You wake up, you tell her, by the way, that's a get, the get's chal. Why is it not a problem of tligi dech mi'agav b'karka? We know there's a chasarin, and the Gemara is going to discuss this hopefully today. But there's something called tligi dech mi'agav b'karka. Let's say you take the get, and you throw it in the middle of the street. You tell your wife, go get the get. It's no good. You have to make of a nosan v'yodah. You have to, even the way Achrenim say it, and we'll see it's muchach in the Gemara by us, there's two steps. There's v'nosan and v'yodah, which means you have to make sure it comes from you to her, and you also have to make sure that it ends up in her hand. Mikayach you. So if I throw a get in the middle of the street and I say, walk 2 blocks and get the get, that's no good. Because then the get came on her, not from me. So the Bishayim will ask, mainly Achrenim, Achna Ephraim and others, when you give the get to a sleeping girl, that's as if you gave a get to nobody. Now later on, she wakes up, and now she picks up the get, and now all of a sudden the get's chal. Where was the nesina? Why is that any different than if I put the get on the street and she walked over and picked up the get? So if I give the get to a regular person, I put it in her hand, her yad's kaina, so everything is good. Here I gave it to a non-existing person. She's like equivalent of a rock. And then the husband walks over and picks up the get. Then the lady walks over and makes a kinyan on the get. That should be tligi dech me'al gabi kak.
What happens if you throw just to a regular... I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's in her
rishon? So she wakes up and that's the shiloh over here, is that although it's her yad is not koine, but it's still physically her yad. That's going to take us to the famous chakir from Reb Chaim. We'll try to tackle this issue.
I was actually going to say something similar. In other words, yeah. The other one's in Rishus Rabim. Here it's Rishus Yachin.
Yeah. That's what's really, here the point is you put the get in her yad.
It's
physically in her yad. Although her yad doesn't have the power to be koine,
right.
But it's physically in her yad. That's what we're going to see.
If you're in Rishus Rabim, not 2 blocks away, you're walking.
So that we're going to learn later.
Down the block, and you throw it on the ground and say, hey, pick that up.
So we're going to learn later that such a concept of Dalarama Shalom Koinoli. We even mentioned this a long time ago that there's a Taisirid. Yeah. We're gonna have to get to it. Yeah. We're gonna get to it. That's one of the Geshmaka
Sigis.
Well, we'll have to get to that. We'll get to that. We even talked about a Chiddush from some Rishayim that maybe she even has 100 Amos. Not just Dalam, she has 100 Amos. Then we spoke about that. It's gotta be the Rabbanim. How's that gonna work? So we talked a little bit about that. B'li Nedar, it's the next Sugi coming up, so you don't wanna miss. Stay tuned. We'll get there by Hanukkah time. Okay. So the Machna Ephraim over here has this Shiloh. He asks in the middle of a backward Shiloh. He was talking about an interesting Shiloh. About a person who wants to give a gift to his friend while he's sleeping. So you go over to your friend, you want to give him a gift, and you stick it into his pocket while he's sleeping. So the shayla was, is he kaina while he's sleeping? That was the shayla that the Machna Ephraim was dealing with. So the Machna Ephraim said, oh, right away, first Marmachan pops into the head, Gittin Ayin Chesam Ralph. Because that's the way we'd all think. Right away, if someone asks us that shayla, we jump to Gittin Ayin Chesam Ralph. Okay? So Gittin Ayin Chesam Ralph, what does Gittin Ayin Chesam Ralph have to do with anything? It's our Gemara. Our Gemara talks about a lady who's sleeping. It says if a lady's sleeping and you give her a get, the get's not chal. Why says that Machna Ephraim? Machloek is Mishayim. Some Mishayim say because she's not Mishtamerish, she's not guarding the get. And some Mishayim say because she's not, doesn't have a yad to be kaina. Oh, so if she doesn't have a yad to be kaina, so this fellow also doesn't have a yad to be kaina, the gift that was put into his pocket. So as long as he's sleeping, it won't work. Now, obviously, by Matana, there's no problem with Tligidich Miagabi Karka. That's not an issue. By Gershon, it's an issue. So the Machna Ephraim, in the middle of his piece, asks, he says, Vitzarachin, I don't understand. The time shall have Rashba, the Ishana in the Yad Kalal, asks the Machna Ephraim, number 4. If you hold like this Rashba, that a sleeping person has no hand, they have no ability to make kinyanim while they're sleeping. Imken kinema, kinami omala basar hachio hagitech, even after she wakes up and she's holding on to the get, we'll see the Rishayim talk about what happens if you give it a get when she's sleeping, and while she's sleeping, the get falls out of her hand, and then she picks up the get. Would that be a problem? That's a machloikis Rishayim maybe. But let's keep the case simple. She's you know holding on to the get and she wakes up and she's holding a get and the husband screams to her, Hai Gitech. So says the Mishnah, everything is good. The get's chal. Frek, the Machna Ephraim, why is the get good? Amai Mahani, v'hochoshiv ki'ilu omelot ligidech megabe karka. Why is this not like he told her to pick up a get from the middle of the Rishas Rabbim? V'hochanami, b'shas nesino lehoysa le'yad. At the time when he made the nesina, when he gave her the get, that wasn't her yad. So that wasn't a nesina le'rishusa. So why does it work? Then the Machna Ephraim makes it even more complicated. Let's say you hold like the Ran, that the chesaron is not that an isha can't be kainah while she's sleeping. The chesaron is that she can't protect the get while she's sleeping, as the Machna Ephraim still shver. If her hand can't function now because she's not protecting the get, so then her hand is not a yad. So where do you make the nesina? Not to her yad, because she doesn't have a yad. So instead you made the get to a makam anywhere. So if you put the get anywhere else besides for her yad, then she takes it. It's not a good get.
Good, because I came late, but why isn't it considered a chotzer? May not be a yad, but it's a chotzer.
What's
and a chotzer? The chotzer should be kainah. You know what you see?
Chotzer has to be kainah only if it's mishtameres. Someone has to be watching it. She's sleeping, so he's watching.
You have a chotzer mishtameres. That doesn't mean every second you're watching. I mean,
No. It has to be someone's aimed betzita. We'll talk about that later on. Okay. Someone has to be protecting it. If it's unprotected,
24/7.
Yeah, at least when you want to be kainah. You know, speak to Donald Trump about how to build a wall, but you know, you got to have something like that. Right, it has to be protected. At least when you want to be kainah with it. For the moments you want to be kainah. So, you know, it doesn't have to be protected all day long, but when you want to be kainah, you got to have someone standing there. So,
do we differentiate between a get and a matana, meaning something you want and something you don't want?
Yeah, so that's the bigger sugya that we talked about many times, that by get, how does chatzah work? Does it work like a hand or does it work like a messenger? Buy a matana, buy a gift, so my backyard can be my messenger. Why? Because it's something good. But by get, my backyard can't be my messenger because it's something bad. So by get, there is a distinction in how chatzah works. But over here, we're talking about yad. You put it into her hand.
So maybe matana and yad works?
Well, yad is always going to be presumably the same way. Yad is, it's me. Even though that itself is not so poshut, why yad works. We might have touched upon it. Why does yad work? When you put something into my hand, why is it kainah? Is it because it's my rishos, like my backyard? Or because it's my yad? Yad is something different. But by chatzah, there's definitely a distinction between the two. So what does the Machane Ephraim answer? He said, it's totally in another machloikis rishonim. Okay, what's the other machloikis rishonim? In Evan Ezesim and Kuf, they bring down machloikis rishonim. What would happen if the husband puts the get in the wife's chatzah, but she's not standing there? She's away. She's out shopping. He puts the get in her chatzah. She comes back. She stands next to her chatzah protecting it. And at that moment, he says to her, Haigitech, would that help? So again, it's the same case. At the time when he put the get in the rishos is not able to be kainah because she wasn't there. He comes later and says, Haigidach, while she's there, so it's a machloikis rishayim. Some rishayim say it works, some rishayim say it doesn't work. So he says, the Machane Ephraim, don't get mad at me. I'll tell you. Those rishayim that say that works will tell you that this is the exact same case. The same way when I put the get down, she's not standing there. So her chatzah cannot be kainah whatsoever. Yet when she comes later and stands there and he says, Haigidach, then magically it works. Same thing here also. When you put the get into her hand is not kainah. Yet when she wakes up and now her hand is kainah and you say, Haigidach, it fixes all the problems. I fract the Machane Ephraim. What happens if you hold like the Ramah? The Ramah holds in that case, it's not good. If the Isha is not standing at the chatzah at the time when the get's given, and she only comes later, the get's not good. So how do you learn our Gemara? So you're going to have to answer that. He learned like the other Rishonim. He learned that the chassan over here is not in Yad and not Mishtameres. The chassan over here is that she doesn't know that she's supposed to be divorced. And therefore, that's why it's not a chassan in the Mais and the Sin. So the Machane Ephraim doesn't really answer the Kasha. He just sends us on another Maramakim. He just says that this Machloikis Rishonim is telling another Machloikis Rishonim. It happens to be very nice. It works out L'shitasei. The Rashba and the Ran and our Gemara, who held it's not a problem of Kligidech Me'al Gabi Karka, they happen to be the same Rishonim that hold that if the Isha is not standing next to the Chatzar when the get was given, she then comes next to the Chatzar and the husband says, Hagidech, that works. That's L'shitasei. That's beautiful. That means that they both hold that you can make a Mais and a Sina to a Mokin that's not Koine, and that's good enough. Now the million-dollar question is, why does that work? You showed me another source. Great. So now I have two Shver Sugis, not only one. What did we accomplish? So there's a piece from the Imre Moshe where it's similar to Reb Chaim. I didn't photocopy Reb Chaim. Imre Moshe was a Talmud of Reb Chaim. He said about himself that he learned before. Then when he came back and he went to Reb Chaim, he had a whole new mahalach of learning. Like it changed his whole way of learning after he learned by Reb Chaim. So he doesn't quote Reb Chaim in this piece, but he has a long piece in Siman Chof where the Imre Moshe discusses this shayla, and a lot of it is found in Reb Chaim in stencil on Maseches Gittin in the second parak by Eved. Reb Chaim says he said if Salvechik and Shuli Harav discusses this Reb Chaim. At length, also in our sugya, but it's all based on a Shver Rambam. If you look at number 5, the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin writes the following halacha. What happens, Dr. Rambam, the Nosan Aget Biyar Avdei, the husband owns an Eved, and he puts the get in the Eved's hand, and along with that, he gives the Eved as a gift to the wife. He gifts her the Eved. But, She'enei Kofas, the Eved's not tied up, which means the Eved's on the move, which means the Eved is a Chatzar Mahalachas. He's a moving Chatzar. The halacha is a moving Chatzar, not Kainah. The only way the Eved can work, we'll get to this Kemar B'Neder at the bottom of our Amid. Right, it's a Mahalach. It has to be something that's tied up. It has to be Kofos. We'll learn more about this later on in our Amid. So it says the Rambam, if you give the get, you put again, what does the husband do? He puts the get in the Eved's hand, and along with that, he tells the wife, I'm giving you a Matana, this Eved. So Dr. Rambam, what happens? The Kof of Law, Shtar Matana, love. The Konso Eved. So she's kind of the Eved without issue. The Eidim Megareshes. But she's not divorced by the mere giving the get to the Eved. Why? Because this is a chatzim aleches, but chatzim aleches like konsum. Zok the Rambam. But when is she divorced? At she yagi aget liyado. When will she be divorced? When this Eved marches from the owner, from the husband's house, to the Isha's house, puts the get in her hand, then it gets chal. Frek the Rajba, the Tema HaRajba. It's interesting. The Meimoshe quotes the Rajba as asking it as a Pella. If you look in the look it up in the Lecha Mishnah when he quotes this Rajba, he was Mesopik. He says, one second, why isn't this a problem of Kli Gidech Me'agah Bekarka? Here he says it strongly. He said the Rajba is Matmiya. But the Rajba asks, why is this not a problem of Kli Gidech Me'agah Bekarka? What happened over here? You gave the get to the Eved. The Eved is not hers now. What? It's hers, but it's not functioning to be kind on her behalf. Yet when she brings the get to the husband, she's still moving. So as long as the Eved's walking, he's a Chatzim HaLechas. A Chatzim HaLechas cannot be kind of you. So then when he gives the get to her, he wasn't a shliach of anyone. He wasn't working on behalf of anyone. So how is it when this Eved gives her the get, the Rabbim says the get's chal?
Who says that it's a get? Who tells her that?
No, this is not one of those tricky cases.
No, I'm saying.
The Eved says to her, I'm bringing your get, I'm now your Eved, you own me, and I'm telling you, here's the get from the husband. Dr. Ramam, everything is good. Why, Frek the Rajma? This is Tli Gidech Me'agah Bekarka. Where's the Nesina from the Baal to the Isha? There was a Nesina from the Baal to her Eved, and her Eved's not Kaina Aschatz because he's moving. It would only be good if once the Eved gets locked down, and you tie him up, so then the get should be chal. The Ramam didn't say that.
And it's definitely not a Shliach either.
No, there's no Shlichas over here.
It wasn't even our Eved.
No, he did. He gave her a shtar hakna at the same time. So she owns this Eved. So what? But she owns this Eved. She can't be kind with this Eved.
But there was no
Nesina. That's the kasha.
That's
right.
Because he's moving.
That's right. She doesn't have any kinyan. So we're lacking a kinyan. Yet the Rambam seems to say that that's sufficient for get. And this is what Reb Chaim talks about. No one. Technically no one. No one. Right. Technically, he still owns it because he gave it to something or somebody that can't be kind of yet. Yeah, so it's right now no man's land. No, you could. They didn't over here. That wasn't the case. The Rambam is very clear. There's no shlichos over here.
One thing, you can make an Eved shlichos.
That's a separate child. An Eved's b'teiras. If the question is, that's a very good question. Depends what you want to make him a shlichos for. There's three types of shlichos in get. There's a shlichos lahilocha, there's a shlichos lagabol, and a shlichos lahava. What's a shlich lava? The Achrayim talk about it. Chaim talks about this. Ibn Moshe, Salvation talks about it. Is that I basically use him to bring it to me. A shlich lekabola means that if a lady sends a messenger to pick up the get, the moment the get hits the shlich stand, she's divorced. Shlich lalacha means I send you to deliver it. Then there's a middle case called a shlich lava, which is I tell you, pick it up from the husband and bring it to me. That fixes tli gidech me'agah bekarka. That's the middle level. Where it's not megareshes right away, but it's megareshes in between. So there's a big...
Only if the wife knows in advance. Yeah, the wife doesn't know.
No, but yeah. If the Isha appoints that as a shliach, the shliach lahava.
And also according to this case, what would happen if, let's say, the woman has her own car? You leave the get on her driver's seat. According to this, you wouldn't be kinder.
If you assume a car is a chatzam aleches. No, it's not, because she controls it. That's the difference. And Eved goes on his own will. She controls the car.
Not nowadays, but yeah.
What do you mean? No, I'm saying it's like her car. But she's in bias of the movement of it, so that would work. That would work because she's in control. It's not a malachas. It's malachas al pi daito. She controls its moving. An eved or a behemoth goes on its own will. It only works if you tie it up. Now, so in Rishayim, there's a famous machloekis Rishayim, if Salvation talks about this at length, is do you need a bar shlichus for a shlich lohilocha? If a man wants to send a get to his wife, does it need to be someone who's in the parasha of Gerishin or not? So the way of Salvechik sets it up, he thinks that a shlich lahilocha is a delivery man. No, nothing to do with Gerushin. You're a delivery man. Everyone can be a delivery man. You don't need to be in the parsha of Gerushin to be a delivery man. You're a delivery man. So anyone can be a shlich lahilocha. What about a shlich lekabbalah? So that's machlokes Rishayim. Does a shlich lekabbalah need to be someone who's in the parsha of Gerushin? Secondly, does a shlich lekabbalah need to have edim at the time when they're made? Do you have to have edim? Is it considered a davar she'be'erva? So that's part of the shaila is in all these different types of lamedes, how is everything working?
Did you say a kohen can be a shlech lalacha?
No, according to some, a shlech lalacha, you don't have to be b'tarez getting the kedushin. That's a big sugya. So the Imre Moshe comes up with a gevaldik yisoid, which I think Rav Chaim, at least at one point, seems to be saying the same idea. But the Imre Moshe writes like this: Vanilu is daiti. The le'inyan nesina miyodu liyodu l'salak apsul l'chigidim agar b'karko loy be'ina nesina l'rishos hamoyel kinyan dafka. Says the Imre Moshe, you don't need a nesina to a mokam hakinyan. When you talk about tligidich mi'agah bekarka, when you talk about what makes something a good mice in a nesina doesn't mean to a place where she's kainah. You don't need that. Because in our Gemara, in the Rambam's case, neither of them are kainah. When you give a nesina to a sleeping girl, she's not kainah. Her hand has no ability to be kainah. So why does it work, says the Emir Moshe? Why? The af b'rishush ein amoyel kinyin k'may chatzim mahalach echatzish ein samachlo. Because as long as you put it in her possession, even though it can't function in Kenyan world. She can't use this possession to be Kaina, either because the Chatzar is moving, or the Chatzar is not protected, or because she's sleeping. It doesn't matter. Says the Imam Moshe, after Lemoyla Kenyan, Ava Becholze Mikri Rishusa. It's still called her possession. It's still called her Yad. Ukishinosin Rishus, because then Mikri Nasino, the Salak Absol, the Tligidich Miagabikak. Says the Imam Moshe, and Reb Chaim says a similar idea. You were Mikhaim what the Torah asked of you. What did the Torah say? V'nosan biyoda. I did that. Doesn't say in the Torah v'nosan biyoda so she could be kainit. A bigger right to the Torah says, you say you don't even need a kinyan, right? If you don't need a kinyan, then I'm just doing what the Torah says. The Torah says put in her rishos. This is her rishos. The fact that she can't be kainit, says Reb Chaim, is what we call a technical problem. It doesn't mean, it's not migareya. It doesn't take away from this being her yad or being her rishos. Reb Chaim says it's chakir. Reb Chaim says yesh lodun. When a person has a chatzah that can't be kainit, is the pshat it's not their chatzah anymore? It's not called my rishos? Or it's my rishos, or just for X and Y reason, I can't use it to be kainah. For example, if I have a chatzar in the middle of nowhere, but it's not mishtamer, it's free for all. Anyone can roam and walk on that. Would you call that my rishos? Or you say, it's not your rishos. If anyone can come there, it's not your rishos. Or no, it's my rishos, but I can't use it to be kainah because the rules for kinyanim are that you have to protect the area. Says Reb Chaim, that's pshat on these rishonim. These rishonim will tell you that when I have a yad, or a chatzar, that can't be kainah because of what we'll call a technical problem, it's still my rishos. I'm still fulfilling the Ratzon HaTorah when the Torah says V'nasim B'yoda. Now you'll ask me, but the Ratzon HaTorah was that the Isha should be kind of the get. Not necessarily true. We've spoken about that a lot. That's not really the Ratzon HaTorah. The Ratzon HaTorah was give it to specific places. So I did that, says the Imre Moshe. So therefore he says that's Pshat in these Rishonim. That's Pshat in our Rishonim. That's Pshat in the Rambam. And that's Pshat in the Rishonim about the case where she's not standing next to the Chatzah. All of those cases, you did what the Torah asked of you. You put the get in her Chatzah. The fact that her Chatzah can't be kain, it doesn't take away from the fact that you made her in a Sinol Rishusa. But if I put the get in the middle of the street, I didn't make it in a Sinol Rishusa. I made the get in the middle of the street, in the middle of the street. As long as I put it into an area that's called her possession, says the Imre Moshe, that's sufficient.
It's not a possession.
It is.
It's not. So I'm sleeping. So I'm.
So that's the shaila.
It's not a technical thing.
That's Reb Chaim's chakir.
According to the Torah, you haven't.
That's the question. That's the shaila. The shaila is how do you look at an area that's not protected or not washed? Do you say, well, it's still my area, but I can't be clean with it, or it's not mine? What makes something mine is my ability to be clean with it or ability to watch.
You know, it depends on halachic context. I mean, could you makdish property, chatzar she'ena mishtameres? Why not? Right? Can you makdish a woman? Why not?
Correct.
Well, we're talking about Kenyan.
Right.
But the question, though, even if you hold correct that way, is it still considered biyada? The chatzar mishtameres, fine. Even if you say, well, you can't be koneh, but it's still considered a rishus. It's still
right.
For rishus, but is that still enough to be called a nasan biyada?
That's part of the shah, I think. That's probably what's the lomdasha underlying theme of it between those rishonim. That's the deer and the rishonim, according to the way the Imam Moshe sets it up.
I mean, if you look at the pasuk itself, a nasan biyada, yes. So logically you would think it has to be biyada, meaning she has to be cognizant of the fact that it's in biyada.
But that doesn't work over here.
Could you be machalik between biyada mamish, even when she's sleeping,
and chatzar?
Versus a chatzar?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think we're going to get to that in a few minutes. I think there is such a chiluk between the nos biyada of the Torah and the chatzar of the Torah. Because again, chatzar is always a secondary idea. They quoted Reb Chaim, this story of Salvechik learned Reb Chaim. Again, I spent a lot of time with Reb Chaim. I wasn't sure to read it like this, but okay. That Reb Chaim said it a little differently. The way Reb Chaim said it, I think, is more meduyik that we read earlier. Reb Chaim said it's a question of why is it where it is? The question over here is why is the get by the Isha? How did the get be to be in the Isha's Rishos? So if I tell the Isha, take the get and pick it up in the middle of Rishos Arab. So she walks over the middle of Peninsula Boulevard, picks up the get. So the reason why the get's in her Rishos has nothing to do with me. The reason why the get's in her Rishos is because she picked up the get and she brought it into her Rishos. However, says Reb Chaim, if I put the get in her Rishos, and I'm the reason why she's now kainah it, because I made an asina to this makam, and this makam is kainah in 2 minutes, so then I'm the reason why the get is where it is. I'm the siba why there was an asina l'rishusa. That's sufficient. That's a different way that people say it. And when I read Reb Chaim, I thought Reb Chaim was saying more of the way the Imam Moshe is saying it, that you don't need any lamda shatari. That's an asina because I gave it l'rishusa. The way of Salvation quotes Reb Chaim held that it has to be that it's by me because of me. The siva to why the get is where it is attributed to me. So if the get is where it is because of me, that's not tliki dech
me'agabekar. You say that by acknowledging that the get energy listens to your...
Okay, good. So that's what we're going to have to talk about. There's an avnei meluim on the next page. Number 15 talks about that type of akasha. Because we're going to see, we're really getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, because we're going to learn sometime, there's a whole Gemara that's going to talk about Tligit HaMagam Karka. And that's going to become a problem based on this chat, which we'll hopefully tackle when we get to. But I put one more piece of Imre Moshe here. If you continue on number 5, he goes weiter and he writes, says Imre Moshe, this is called her possession even though she's moving. It's a technical problem, you can't be claiming it, but it's not migareya from the fact that it's called her rishus. Says Imre Moshe, that's pshat the Rambam. That's pshat the Rambam. The Rambam talks about a case of giving the get to the Eved, that's called the nesina l'rishusa, that's her possession, she owns the Eved. Although she can't be claiming with the Eved, that's sufficient. There's only one problem.
She doesn't own the Eved until he gets there.
No, she doesn't own it.
He
wrote a star on it. The husband was makdeh to her. Yeah. She was carrying the Eved from the get-go. The problem was the Eved itself was not...
She doesn't want the Eved. Forget the divorce. I mean, Eved's a headache also.
Yeah, it's a shayin l'gemara from Zochin. Yeah. Okay, that's a bigger problem. But there's a starker problem over here. There's a stira in Rashba. We keep on saying that the Rashba is l'shitasa. The Rashba holds, if you give a get, and the lady's not standing next to the get, and she comes later, the Rashba says, that's good. The Rashba says you give a get to a sleeping girl, that's good. Why? As the way the Imre Moshe explained, because the Rashba holds that giving to a mokim that is yours is good enough to be called Nesina L'Rishusai. So one second. So why did the Rashba ask on the Rambam? The Rashba asked on the Rambam. He didn't understand the Rambam, the case of the Eved. Why? You Rashba L'Shitasi, why was the Rambam Shver? The Rambam should have been perfect for you. The Rambam was exactly your lotus. You hold that if I give a get to a mokim that's called my rishus, although I have no kayach hakinya, that's not called tligitech. So when the husband put the get in the hand of the Eved was her rishus because she owned the Eved. Although the Eved can't be kind of her because the Eved's on the go, that shouldn't take away from it. So why would the Rashba from all the people ask on the Rambam? The Rashba should have been very happy with this Rambam, based on the other two Rashbas we mentioned earlier. So the Imre Moshe asks this kasha. Why the Rashba l'shitasa was he so troubled? The Rashba should have been so happy with this Rambam, because the Rashba was of the opinion that as long as I give the get to a makam that's called your, this is called her rishus, this is her evet. No doubt, this is her evet. Although she can't be kainah with this evet, but this is her evet.
But the Rambam himself, I think you said, had like tosos, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying with l'shitascha, why? Is
maybe. Yeah, we have to really go back, plug in how the Rambam was going to learn the Gemara before. Yeah, that's something I think needs discussion. So the Imre Moshe has this kasha. Should we get into it? Okay, let's just quickly see what he says. Now, I really wanted to get to the second page today, but okay. So the Imre Moshe, hold up shat in the whole sugya. He says like this, by sleeping and by tiskali chatzeri, you know why those work? It's a new lambis. It's sufficient to put the get into a place that will be my rishos, that will be my yat. Although now I can't be kleina with it, but I will be shortly. Meaning sleeping, right now I can't, but when I wake up I could. The case when I'm not standing next to my chatzur, when I stand there, then I could be kleina. So you put the get in a place that will shortly be your D, become my chatzur. A little harder to understand than lambdas, I think, but that's what he writes.
So that means if you put in, let's say you know she's in contract, she's got wind of it that, you know, she's getting a divorce, she's in contract to buy a piece of land.
I think that's too far. I think that's too far yet. It's not hers yet. That's not her rishus yet.
Well, he was talking about, neither is the sleeping person, neither is the Eved.
No, one second. Her hand is there. Her hand is hers. It's just that right now it's
paralyzed.
Right, let's have an example. You put the get in an area that's closed for construction, that's, you know, something like that.
Right.
You know, that's more of a technical problem. Not owning it is felt rishus. If you put the get in an area that's not hers, I would think that's kaidim to kaidim.
Why is the Eved any different?
She owns the Eved. Right now.
No, she doesn't own it yet.
Yes, she does. She owns the Eved immediately. The problem is the Eved can't be kainah for her because the Eved is moving. But it's her rishus.
So you mean the Baal can be makner the Eved even if she doesn't want him?
That was the question before. Maybe right. She doesn't want. Okay, that's a good kasha. I'm not sure. How do you deal with the problem? Maybe she never wanted the Eved. She has plenty of avodim already. I don't know. Good shayla. How do you work with Zochan and Eved? So the Imre Moshe says that's the pshat. The lohachi lo Eved legidich megabekarik b'had the tiskel chatzeri. The lo Eved legidich b'shem de biyadoi lovo yisamul chatzera. Because she can come next to her chatzer and make her chatzer functioning again. So even though at the time when you put it there, it wasn't yet functioning, because it could be functioning, that's sufficient. Exactly why, I'm not sure. But he says, v'havin esinu l'masha tia achakach yoda. Same when she's sleeping. When you give the get to a sleeping girl, we'll call it a technical problem. Right now, the yad is not functioning. We'll turn it on in a second, the yad will work. So that's good enough. However, says the Imre Moshe, but... Okay, fine. But let's say the case where the Eved is moving. The Achakachinoi tell us ba'atzma haget me'evet. Over there, she wasn't using the evet to be kind of the get, because she took the evet from his hand. V'loi nasa ha'evet yad l'geirushin. She never used the evet as yad. V'al kochach habet l'gizim ha'gabe karka. Says the Mimosha, because over there you weren't saying that I want the evet to be kind of for me. I took it from him. I wasn't using him as my rishus. I was using him as a middle person to bring the get to me. When you use someone as a middle person to bring the get, that's l'gidich me'gabe karka. That's how the Ibn Moshe ends up learning the sugya. So according to what's the gate to our sugya is, according to Ibn Moshe, we have a second way of understanding why it works by sleeping. The reason why it works by sleeping is because you put the get into a rishos, which will be her rishos in a few minutes. And it's biyada to make her rishos active again. That's good enough. That's the second way of learning. The first way of learning it is because when you're sleeping, it's called your rishos. The second way of learning is because even though it's not your rishos now, but since it will become your rishos, that's sufficient. I think that's also a cheshbon, that this was a functioning rishos, temporarily went out of business, and now back up and running again. Yeah, I think that might make a difference as well. The Rosh writes over here, number 7, he quotes from the Ramah. He writes like this, "Vim eina get biyod b'shas shen ura." What happens? You give the get to her when she's sleeping. While she's sleeping, she drops the get. Now she wakes up, the get's on the floor. So to Ramah, no good. Eino get. Says the Ramah, you'd have to make a new ma'is in the sinu. Why? Talk to Rosh. The chaim is taver. The mashenosam the yod the b'shas shehi yishona ein in the sinu. Kima the nofal miyodo b'shas shenu ura. Says the Ramah, what would happen in between? If at any time in between, from when the husband made the sinu to when the husband said the hagitech, the get falls on the floor, then she picks it up, no good. Why? Says the B'shmur Zavsky number 8. Because the high time mishum the svila dolitzar klam nesina. Again, Shmuel assumes because why don't you need a second nesina when she wakes up? Raksha get ye b'shas geirushim yodah mikoyach nesina soy. Because when I gave the first nesina, similar to what we said in Reb Chaim, is that the get was by you because of me. When the get was in your sleeping arms, the get was there because of me. That was my nesina. But if the get drops in between and then you pick it up, then the get is by you because of you. Zok to Rosh, that's not good. It has to be that the reason, sole purpose, and why the get is by you is from me. But if it dropped in between, that's not the case. It's by you now because you picked it up the floor. That would be a problem. Right, right. You have to know why you don't have dalam, why you don't have chutz. Whatever the case would be is that.
And what is the chisaron of a sleeping woman? Is this she's no das? Either she has no das.
So according to this understanding,
right, it's a full fledged mais in a scene.
Right.
Then what is the problem?
So either she has, it's not mishtameris. Or
right, but these Rishonim, though, don't hold that way.
You're going to have to... Well, the Machane Ephraim set it up in both Rishonim.
Wake up and say Hagitech. If it's a regular nice Sinah.
Right.
And you don't hold it, then what's the problem?
So that's stomach actually. If you hold you don't need a kidney, then what's the problem in the first place? Right. Right, let's say you hold like those Achrim. You don't need a kidney. Right. So what did I do wrong? So you're going to have to say that the Torah held that cult to Rishos. Right. That's the problem I think needs to be spoken out. Okay. So we left off yet last week with the Rambam Shita. Yeah. The Rambam learned that if you give the get b'teras sleeping, it's no good. Because if exeris akosid, you have to give it b'teras sefer krisis. So we mentioned last week, and now I put it on the pages for everyone to see. Yisoyz de gemachloik is between Rav Salavitchik and Rav Shach. The Shaila was, when the Rambam talks about giving a get to a sleeping lady, the Rambam says, if you just read, we'll read it again in number 9, the Rambam writes, u'minayin she'inos no'el b'teras gerushin. You have to give it to her at b'teras gerushin. Rambam doesn't say why. Why does it have to be Teres Gerushin? So there's two possibilities. For the husband's idea, so we know the husband knows what he wants to do, or for the wife. So Dr. Rambam, Shadema Sefer Krisis Nasim Yodai. She didn't always say B'Teres Sefer Krisis. The din, again, has to be given as a Sefer Krisis. Aval Nasla B'Teres Shul Shtar Choyv, Mezuzah, Ish Nasim Yodai, V'hi Yishan of an Ura. If you give her any other pretext, you're giving it as something else. So Dr. Rambam, V'Reu B'Yodai, Ein Aget. We mentioned last time, Ein Aget means it's not even a get mid-rabbon. It's mamish get nothing. No get whatsoever. There happens to be a Mordechai Ketshuva to the Eini Yomtev. The Eini Yomtev wrote a wild case, was presented to the Eini Yomtev, about a case where a guy was a kohen. He was married for 18 years. He had a lot of kids. And one day his wife snapped. She started acting crazy. So he decided, okay, shine sight. So what he did was he sent her back to her parents. Okay, that was the punishment. He sent her back to her parents. So what he did was he wrote her a piece of paper, and he told her, it's your get. And he said, send it home and bring it to your parents. They got home, they realized it was not a get. It was a joke. The whole thing never happened. Fine, she went to her parents, she recuperated, she got better, Baruch Hashem, so she moved back into the house. It didn't last too long, she became crazy again. So So he decided, okay, at Kani, found to Edom. He wrote a get. He told Edom, this is a get. And he gave her the piece of paper. He told her, this is the get. Bring her home. So she comes home, and lo and behold, it is a get. So the guy said, Shaila was, in the middle, the husband decided he regretted what he did. Only one problem is, he's a kohen. So now we're really in trouble. Because even if we start playing Gittin the Rabbanon, they can't go back together. So the Ein Gemta for the whole tshuva, Ma'aseh Shehayah. And we learn these things here, we think, these things never happened. Ma'aseh Shehayah. Where a guy gave a get, it wasn't clear if he wanted. It wasn't. Didn't sound like it. It didn't sound like she was an issue of shaita, of, you know, that she can't be megareshes. He talks about that in the tshuva. It's a rather lengthy tshuva. He talks about the zedev of mishach and chazeres. So there's a whole discussion over there on how to learn the Rambam. But in any case, ain't a get means it's not a get at all. So if you give a get without telling us what's going on, then the get's not chal at all. Zog the Rambam. Next halacha. Omer le'edim ru get shani nasan la. The chazav omer kinti shtachayv zeh. What happens if you turn to the witness and you say, guys, listen, I'm about to give a get. And you say to her, it's a shtachayv. So the Rambam passes like the Gemara Gittin Afnun Hey, that's a good get. So the Achrayim debate between Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Shach is what happens if you do the exact same thing by a sleeping girl. You know, the wife is sleeping. And you turn to the edim and say, guys, I'm about to give her a get. And you put the get in her sleeping lap. Is that going to be okay? The Rambam is interesting. The Rambam and halacha Tess lumped shtar choyv together with sleeping. Now, if you're going to lump the two together, the assumption would be the same way by shtar choyv, it's fixed by telling the Eidim first, it would be fixed by sleeping as well. However, Rav Soloveitchik felt that's not true. Rav Soloveitchik felt if the Rambam held that that's the halach, Itaka should have wrote it somewhere. Why didn't the Rambam speak out that same thing by sleeping? So Reb Shach answers that time, he says, because it's not the derech of the Rambam, it's right halach, there's not mafresh in the Gemara. There's no such Gemara that talks about the case of a sleeping girl and telling the Eidim.
I mean, a lot of times you find that the Rambam okay. Himself is on
okay.
I mean,
yeah, this is Reb Shach's comment to answer back Reb Soloveitchik's taina about I wanted the Rambam write it. So Reb Soloveitchik said, the fact that the Rambam didn't write it is right, it's not true. It says Reb Shach, not true. I think it's who I did. Why didn't the Rambam write it, says Reb Shach? Because the Rambam held that it's not a halach in the Gemara. So what's the, let's break this down and lump this. Reb Soloveitchik held that according to the Rambam, if you go over to a lady, and you give her a shtar chayv. You say to her, listen, lady, this is the phone bill. But before you did it, you told two witnesses that this is the get. Everything is fine. That's a good get. Yet if she's sleeping, you do the exact same thing, it's no good. What's the difference? Now, in the Rambam's world, the Rambam doesn't learn like Taisvis that it has to do with whether or not she knows or doesn't know. The Rambam world is exactly kasa. It has to be what's called the Teiras Sefer Krisus. So then what's the difference? If the Amira Le'edim is sufficient to make it a Sefer Krisus, then it should work in both cases.
Actually,
it
worked better in the second one because
right.
It is the other one is a
star. At least it's presented like a star. It sounds like a star. So the problem with the Rambam is the way Soloveitchik sets it up. If you're going to really draw this distinction, which whether or not it's mochach and the Rambam debatable, but how do you understand the Rambam? So that's for this reason. Reb Shach says, "Well, don't learn the Rambam like that. Learn the Rambam that they're the same and everything is good." But if Soloveitchik has a line, a piece like this, he writes in number 10, Venira. Says of Salvation, there's a fundamental difference between a sleeping girl and a shtar choyv. When you say to a regular girl who's awake and ready to be kinder, you're not missing anything over here. You're only missing what's called a safer, giving it as a safer krisus. And that you can do by telling the Edom. So if you told the Edom what you're doing, now we know what's going on in this procedure, everything is good. However, says of salvation, but if you go over to a sleeping girl, avi b'yishana she'ena ruil nesina shem geirushin. She can't get a nesina done to her. She's not in the parasha of nesina. Ha nesina mufkas m'liyos l'shem geirushin. No matter what you do, giving a get to a sleeping girl is automatically impossible to be called a nesina l'shem geirushin. That's what we spoke about for the last half an hour. Says of salvation, v'yef shala amir sabal edim etztarfla. The fact that you tell the edim that doesn't change it. So Soloveitchik feels there's a strong difference between the two cases. One case, the Nesina is fine, it's the background information that needs to be clarified. One case, the person that you're giving to is B'chlam, not a Nesina, the Shem Gershon. Saying to the Edom doesn't fix it. That's the way Rav Soloveitchik understood. Rav Shach said no. Rav Shach said the Mamash is the exact same case. Both cases, Rav Shach learned Pshat in the Rambam, and Mechudish took Pshat in the Rambam. Rav Shach learned both cases, it's for the lady to know what's going on. Rav Shach learned almost like Tosfos in the Rambam, that the Rambam's Torah Sefer Krisus is for one reason. The Isha should know what's going on. So then Reb Shach said, so if you told the Edom, so both cases, they'll get word back to the Isha. The Isha will know what's going on. It shouldn't make a difference. So Reb Shach learned the Rambam that according to the Rambam, the Chesaron is on the Isha's part of things. The Isha has to know what's going on. Therefore, if you tell the Edom first, the Edom will tell the Isha, everything is fine. So that's the Machlokes Achrayim between how to learn the Rambam Shita in whether or not it helps in the case of sleeping.